Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. We just pray that as we come together and worship the Lord today, that the Holy Spirit will bless you. And whether you're here in the sanctuary or listening in the car, or maybe some at home that live real, real close, and or on the website, in either case, we're just so glad that you joined us today as we worship the Lord. Now, let me make a little announcement before I pray. We've been asked to do a favor for one of the other churches in the association. Centerview Baptist Church is wanting to hear a young man as a prospective pastor for their church. And they need a place for him to preach so that their committee can hear him. So I've given them permission for him to preach here at Barber's Grove on May 23rd, which will be 3 weeks from today. So I hope you'll come and you'll listen, and it'll be encouragement to him to see your smiling faces. And their committee should be here to hear him. And, you know, you've only listened to me for a year, so it'll give you a chance to hear somebody else. I've only listened to me for a year, so I'll get to hear somebody else as well. And we'll be doing them a favor. And so just wanted you to know that so that when he comes, you'll be prepared to hear him. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house just to join together with your people. And we thank you for every person that's in the sound of my voice, those that are here in the sanctuary, those that are in the their cars, those that might be listening on the website. Lord, we're so grateful that you're such a big God, that you're everywhere. Father, just to think, you know, in the Old Testament, there was the Holy of Holies. And that's where God was. And only the high priest could come in. But here, everyone can boldly come into your presence through the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And now, Father, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is very welcome to glorify you, to do everything that needs to be done in this service, that you'll speak to each one of us, and through us, speak to others and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How's everybody feeling this morning? It's another month. The merry, merry month of May is upon us here. And as normally, we want to recognize our birthdays and anniversaries at the end of each new month. And for May, our birthdays for May, Michael Smith, May 7th, Reverend Ed Louder, May the 9th. You don't look a day over 9 or 5. That's a...
I don't feel much older now.
Leonard Harville, and I don't even want to tell you how old I look, so I will... Leonard Harville, May the 12th. Janice Coley, May the 15th. 25, Janice. Donna Harville, May the 18th. Angie Barbie, May the 19th. And Jewel Hatley, May the 31st. All right, let's sing happy birthday to them. If you give me a key, Kathy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, now anniversaries for the month of May. Bob and Janice Williams, May the 18th. How many years there, Bobby?
Let's say two for sure.
I knew that would be rich. That was... That's good. Congratulations. And then Reverend Ed and Pam, May the 26th.
54.
54 years. Well, congratulations. God bless you. All right. We're going to do our hymn sing now. And if you would, please, page 407, Because He Lives, or up on the board, as we all stand and sing all three verses of Because He Lives.
Thank you.
Announcements for you this morning. We will continue on as we're doing now, and if you had a bulletin, that's what you'd be reading for next Sunday. We'll be doing the same as we're doing now. We'll start at 10 a.m. next Sunday, and of course we'll have our parking lot available in the webcast at 12:30. You can still contribute to the Children's Home food drive by check or by food card, any card that you want to give, food line card, whatever you want to give for the Children's Home, you can still donate to that. And it's, the only thing that we have finished up would be the actual food itself, and that's all been delivered to them from what we did. And we thank all of you that brought food, and but like I said, you can continue on to contribute. The Baptist men are going to be having a barbecue, and yes, there it is. It's up on the board there, and you can see we're going to have the chicken and the pork and the Boston butts. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you if you would please talk about this some morning.
We need to get our orders in by the Tuesday before the 29th. But don't wait. Please go ahead and get them in so we can prepare on how much to work, how many workers we need, how much salt we need.
There's a lot of things we have to get ready. All this will be pre-sold. We don't plan on cooking extras. So if you're going to buy it, buy it. Order. The butts will be $35 a piece. They average about 10 pounds each. The chicken halves will be $4 each, and you can buy as many as you want. Going to feed the whole family for Memorial Weekend, that's great. But all we're going to be doing is the meat. You'll be able to pick it up on Saturday morning here at the church, at the fellowship hall, between 9 and 12.
Do a drive-through like you normally do.
Drive-through, yep.
Okay.
And all right. I need the Baptist men down front to pick up your tickets and the chicken half sheet.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Sounds good. It's not quite what we're used to, but at least we're getting started again. So that's wonderful news. All right. That's all the announcements I have. Does anyone have anything you want to add this morning? All right. Okay. The prayer request. Prayer request. I'm glad to come and give you a praise report on Jeff and my son's family. As you know, all of them were tested positive for COVID, but they're all doing well now. They're out of quarantine, and I saw Jeff out and about yesterday and Adam walking around the yard for the first time in 2 weeks. So I praise God for that. So the good news is that they are indeed. Rita, I want to ask you, how's your mom doing this morning?
She's doing well.
She's doing well. That's another good praise report then. That's wonderful. And Kenny, I guess yours is the same?
Yes, same.
All right. Let's continue to pray for Brenda as she's convalescent. Talk to her. She seems to be doing as well as it'll be expected with the situation she's in right now. So do that. All right. Any prayer requests this morning? Yes.
Todd Sedbury, my brother-in-law.
Yes.
His mother has just recently been diagnosed with ALS, and she's in a nursing home facility. Pray for her because we all know that that's a...
Okay. So Todd Sudbury's mother.
Yeah, Phyllis.
Phyllis. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Leonard, I was wanting to please ask for a special prayer request for Becky Parker.
Becky Parker, yes.
Becky Parker's wife, you know, her condition with COVID and the pneumonia has worsened, and they're going to have to do a
trach. Oh, really?
So, yeah.
I thought she was getting some better. It must have turned around. Okay, so Becky Parker, okay. Yes?
My boss's husband, his name is Tim Moss. He got diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer.
Oh.
He just needs extra prayer.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right, we definitely will. Tom Moss, right?
Tim Moss.
Okay. Yes, Will.
I know some people that are really struggling in school right now, and we're coming towards the end of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are really, just struggling, and I hate to see them suffer. And EOGs are about to come about, so if you could pray for everybody that are taking the EOGs to not be stressed while they take them, that would be great.
Okay. All right, I got it.
My niece, Nicole.
Yes.
Johnson. She's not doing good. She needs all the prayer she can get.
Okay. All right, Robert. Nicole Johnson. I've got that one. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we're thanking you, Lord, for another beautiful Lord's Day. And Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've already given us. The fact that I can look out and see these numbers here this morning tells me that we've all been blessed. We've all been blessed to be able to be here and be healthy enough to be here. Lord, when there's so much sickness around, Lord, indeed we need to take time and say thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, there are those, Lord, that we've been asked to remember in prayer this morning. And Lord, I'd like to lift them up to you, Lord, and ask your blessings upon them. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Todd Sedbury, and we pray for Phyllis. We pray for Becky Parker as she's dealing with the COVID virus, Lord, Her condition seems to be grave and worsening. We pray for her. We pray for Mr. Tim Moss, Lord, who has cancer. We pray for healing of his body. And Lord, we know you're able. We know you're able. And Will has so thoughtfully asked for help for scholastically for the students there at his school. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that Will cares enough to lift them up. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those who are hurting today, Lord, and need help. We pray for them. We continue to pray for Brenda as she convalesces and gets better. And then, Lord, our praise reports, we pray, I thank you so much for the blessings you've given Jeff and his family. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for Rita, and we pray for, continue to pray for her mom and also Ken's mom, but we thank you for the praise report we received there. Now, Lord, we ask that you go with us forward in this service today. We're so thankful, Lord, for Pastor Ed, who commits each and every week, all week long, to the service of this church and to you. We lift him up to you, Lord, as he comes before us. We pray for Tonda as she'll be coming and sing for us later. And Lord, we just thank you for the many blessings. And then, Lord, as our children go before their church this morning, Lord, we thank you for their leaders. We pray a special blessing upon them as they go into their service. And now, Lord, we ask that you continue to be with us today, and I know you will. You've already promised us you'd be with us, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Go with us, I pray. These blessings I ask in your name. Amen. Miss Tonda, if you would please come and share with us. While Tonda's coming, I seemed like I continue to just thank, and it's, but this young lady here and Kathy has been so faithful to us and through all of this, and over a year now, right, Miss Tonda, that we've been doing this.
And you have as well.
Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate that. Come and share with us, Tonda.
So Leonard sent me a text, I don't know what day it was, and I reminded Gary last night, I said, I still don't have a song picked out. I'm just behind. But one that came to my mind, and I've already lost my place, I may have to, came to my mind that we have to be reminded of sometimes, which is a great mission statement to all of us, is about sharing his love. And we have that song. I have multiple times tried to, that one and Shine Jesus Shine, I just went past it, but those are two that just really, really come to mind for me. And I said, I'm not even going to make Kathy worry about playing along and trying to keep up with me and torture her with all that. I'm just going to sing this song because it's just a mission statement of what we're supposed to be doing every day. Says a lot. So just sing along with me. I know the verses you probably won't remember, but when we get to the chorus, you will. The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. All those who have trusted in God's only Son and hold this precious treasure in their hearts, seek ways to make it known to all who need to know. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith, and show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. We show the love of God each day we live. Reveal Christ's presence in our lives, and how the Holy Spirit guides us day by day. For God so loved the world, his only Son he gave. Share his love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share his love by sharing of your faith, and show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day. Thank you.
All right, children, you may be dismissed for children's church.
You want to tell the story? I thought it was great, so share it with us.
Last week, I think it was Tuesday, my wife got a text. Said, I didn't know Ed had such a great voice. Now, usually, you see, Leonard gets up here and he says, Tonda's going to sing, or Kathy's going to sing, or we're going to have a song from the Singing Towers. Last week, he just got up and said, the Lord, you know, has led him to this certain song, and he sang. Well, this person that was listening didn't know it wasn't me. Well, my wife very quickly let him know it wasn't me. That it was Leonard that was singing. So, you know, that's how it goes. The Lord gives some of us some gifts, and it's what I was talking about last Sunday. Whether your gift is a listening ear, or whether your gift is making phone calls or whatever, share his love in the way God gifts you. Amen. And thank you, Tonda, for that. And as Tonda was singing, I happened to think, this just a little extra, you may hear more about this later, the last phrase, pretty close to it, was share his love and let the world see how real Jesus is to you. In recent weeks, on my phone, I've picked up at least twice where somebody did a survey of why folks dropped out of church. And, you know, in several cases, it was because the pastor or the priest messed up and got into some kind of immorality. Others, you know, it was just like, well, that's what my family always did, and I just decided I didn't want to do it anymore. Or my dad and I went out to church, and then we went out to eat, and then after he died, I just didn't want to go back to church. What surprised me about every answer was not a single person said anything about their relationship and their love for Jesus. Not a single one. Now, I can understand dropping out or changing when the priest or preacher messes up, or when heresy is being preached. But I'm going to find a place to go. I'm going to find a place to go because I love Jesus. And I want to be with God's people. And how true that is, share His love because Jesus is real to you. That's so important. So important that Jesus be real to you. Now this morning, I want to continue a theme that really goes with sort of with the newsletter that I wrote this week. It's a theme that I've preached on before or wrote on before, but yet it's one that I have to be reminded of every week. In other words, I may just be preaching to myself this morning, but I need it. Because there's just certain things that continue to pop up. Now, you've heard the old expression, fear is of the devil and faith is of God. Fear is of the devil, faith is of God. Do you ever catch yourself saying, that's exactly what I was afraid was going to happen? I was afraid that was going to happen. I just knew that was going to happen. Guess what? That's not a new expression. Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 3. Job is the oldest written book in the Bible. It was written before anything else was written. And in the Job, let's see what Uncle Job had to say, because he's your uncle, my uncle. Job chapter 3, verse 24. For my sighing cometh before I eat, my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Job said the same thing many say today. I was afraid it was going to happen, and it did. I was afraid it was going to happen, and exactly what that happened. Fear. I've mentioned some of these before, but do you ever think about if you grew up like I did, now every home is different. How many of our little stories and nursery rhymes are designed to instill fear? Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Two little kids can't go get a bucket of water without two falls and a concussion. You know? Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the baby will rock. When the bough breaks, down will come cradle, baby and all. What knucklehead hangs her baby in a treetop? I mean, you think about it. And Little Red Riding Hood on her way to Grandma's house. And you tell that story, and then you go to your four-year-old and say, hey, we're going to Grandma's house. And the kid thinking, I'm not sure I want to go to Grandma's house. And the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. Hansel and Gretel. All of those designed to bring fear. And the one I've mentioned, I know I've mentioned this one before, but, you know, I was taught, now lay me down to sleep. That's good. I pray the Lord the soul to keep. Yeah, that's good. If I should die before I wake. Now, wait a minute. I'm 4 years old. And I don't know, maybe you weren't as sensitive as I was, but I laid there on many a night with my eyes open, afraid to go to sleep because I could die while I was asleep. And then, you know, it ends. I pray the Lord my soul to take, you know, there's some doubt about where I'm going if I do die. How much, I don't say the devil inspired all of those things, but he sure has used them to instill fear in our hearts. And if you keep up with the news media, that's why I say I need this every day. This is what I'm trying to preach every day. Because every day I'll read something or hear something, and just for a moment there's a stab of fear, and I have to deal with it. And you have to deal with it. We have to deal with those fears. In the book of Luke, Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 26. And Jesus is teaching on the last days, the days right before the second coming. And here's what he says, verse 26 of Luke 21. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. He says men's hearts will just literally fail them because they're so afraid. Well, if you haven't had opportunities to be fearful, you're not looking at the news. You're not listening to the news. And I do just as little as I can, but at the same time, it still comes. And we get those times in our lives when we feel a little fearful, we feel a little afraid. And what do? Now here's where we begin to make some choices. Now I won't ask you to turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your care on the Lord. Cast all your fears on the Lord, for he careth for you. Casting your fear on the Lord because the Lord cares for you. How do you deal with fear? You deal with fear as a Christian. Now, if a person's not a Christian, they're on their own. A person that doesn't believe and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is on their own. But you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have options. We have choices. And our choice is to cast our care on the Lord. And you know, if you're like I am, there's been many a time I've taken my troubles to the altar, and they got about right there, and I came back and got them. I came back and got them. It takes a commitment to bring them to the Lord and leave them there. But at the same time, how do we deal with fear? We deal with it on the basis of who God is. We deal with it on the basis of what God can do. And we deal with it on the basis of our own personal relationship with the Lord. Who God is, what he can do, and our own personal relationship with him. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells us who God is. Now he's dealing with people who have fears just like you and I. Same kind of problems, same kind of struggles. And beginning at Matthew 6, verse 25, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. Now when he says take no thought, that doesn't mean that, oh, I don't ever work, I don't ever can anything, I don't ever freeze anything, I don't go to the store and stock up. He's not saying that. He's saying don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious about what you'll have to eat and what you'll have to wear. Now, we all plan. There's other scriptures that tell us to plan, to make provision. You know, there's one in Proverbs about the ant who said it's so small, and yet that ant is out there working, making provision for the winter. And so we need to make provisions. But there's a difference between careful planning, thoughtful planning, and fear. And, you know, we saw this last year this time. People fighting in the aisles over toilet paper. Fear. Those of you my age can remember when people got in fights in the gas lines. Afraid they don't even get enough gas for their vehicle. Fear. Jesus says, don't worry. And he concludes that verse, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And then he gives an illustration. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you better than they? He said, God takes care of the birds. Some way, somehow. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Yeah, I know some short people that'd like to have been taller, but they couldn't. You know? You get to be a certain height, and that's it. So you can't worry yourself into height. Consider the, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, look at the beautiful flowers. God just made them that way and God clothed them. And then he says, wherefore, think about this. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, don't worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What withal shall we be clothed? For all these, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought, don't worry, for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be thought for the things of itself. Over and over, Jesus said, you've got a loving heavenly Father who looks after you. And the Bible is so full of examples. Noah and his family safely in an ark. Approximately 3 million children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. And every day all they had to do was go out and pick up the food that they needed. Elijah. God says, go by the brook. And every day the birds brought him something to eat. When the brook dried up and the birds stopped coming, he says, go to Zarephath. There's a widow there. I'm sure he probably thought, okay, I bet she's a rich widow. I'll probably be able to sit by her swimming pool out behind her house. And he got there and found out she was poorer than he was. She's gathering two or three little sticks and she's got enough for one little cake, and she and her son are going to eat that and then die. But instead, she and Elijah and her son eat every day for months. And the meal and the oil never run out. God provides. God provides. Over and over and over again. And you say, well, that doesn't happen. That's Bible days. That doesn't happen now. Oh, yes, it does. I'm thinking about a Baptist group that was in Honduras, and I may have this name exactly right, but something like the Mosquito Indians. And they were going to take bags of food to these Indians because they were in starvation. And so they very carefully loaded the bags of food into their boat, and they had 50 bags. But when they got done, they very quickly realized something doesn't add up. We gave out 55 bags of food because there were 55 families that had a need. Somewhere between the time they counted that 50 bags as they loaded them in their boat and they put them out, those bags multiplied. And that's something I read just not very long ago, a few years ago. God multiplying. I think I've told this one before, but it just fits. Tony will appreciate this one. Mark Rutland, who at one time was the president of Oral Roberts University and fantastic speaker, talks about being down in somewhere on the Amazon, or I think it was on the Amazon, and you know, they were going way, 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 way back to a tribe that they'd never been to. And they knew these people were hostile. They weren't sure they weren't going to be attacked and even killed. And so he says to one of the guys who's with him, you go down to the store before we leave and buy a whole bunch of cans of tuna. And the first thing we do when we get there, we'll give them this food and maybe that will ease their minds, make them a little more friendly toward us. And oh, and buy some gas for the little motor that's on our boat. So they putter on down, and it gets denser and denser, and the river gets smaller and smaller, and they get about where they think this tribe is, and he turns to his friend and says, get that tuna out, because we want to give it to him just as soon as we get there. And the guy says, I got the gas, but I forgot the tuna. That doesn't look good. Says, what are we going to do? Lord, what are we going to do? And Mark Rutland says, just about that time, this humongous fish just jumped out of the river and jumped right into the canoe, landed between him and the other guy. And so as soon as they landed, they grabbed this fish and handed it to the tribe. And of course, he lived to tell the story. So, you know, fish jump in the boat for you. You know, God provides, and he has done it in our lifetime. I mean, it's wonderful to read the stories in the Bible because they build up our faith. But at the same time, it's wonderful to know God didn't go on retirement. Few hundred years ago and leave us in a lurch. Have you ever studied the names of God? The names of God. You know how in the Bible names mean something? When Moses says, God, who am I going to tell them sent me? He says, the Hebrew is something like Yahweh or Yahweh. We transliterate it Jehovah. I am. I am the God who I am. I mean, you know, I'm present tense God right now. I was, I am, I will be, but I am God. And throughout the Old Testament, God keeps adding to that. And so, you know, if this morning you're thinking, I need some righteousness. The Bible says he's Jehovah Sitkanu, your righteousness. You say, well, how am I going to achieve that? I need to be sanctified into that righteousness. He's Jehovah Makedesh, your sanctifier. You say, well, preacher, I need to be assured of his love. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is with me, the overflowing present one. And in the New Testament, you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. You need healing, mental, physical, emotional. He's Jehovah Rapha. You need have some kind of provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. You need God's power in his life, in your life. He's Jehovah Nissi. All of these are Old Testament names for God. And Jehovah Nissi means he's your banner, he's your stronghold, he's your deliverer. You need some peace, Jehovah Shalom. You need guidance, protection, Jehovah Roi, your shepherd. In the New Testament, he's Jesus, our Savior, our Deliverer. Turn with me right quick to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And this ought to bless you if you really think about it. And if you got a little note in like mine, it says, this was a psalm of David who spake to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. God delivered him, and this is what David said. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Think about that. David says, look at who God is to me. Strength, rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, buckler, which is like a shield, the horn of salvation, and my high tower, my fortress. He's saying all of these things, God is real to David. And I pray that God is real to you. Think of it this way, as couples. It's one thing to say, she's a wife. He's a husband. But it's a whole different thing to say, she's my wife. He's my husband. It's one thing to say God is strength and deliverer and power and know all of those things about him, but when you've been sick and God has healed you and he becomes your healer, your sanctifier, your banner, your fortress, the ever-present one with you, when God becomes present with you and it becomes personal, you've got something to fight fear. The personal God who is everything you need. And you see, when the devil comes to you and says, you need to be afraid about this, that, or the other, you resist him. The Bible says resist him and he will flee from you. But don't just resist him sort of at large. If he comes to you with fear of going hungry, say, now wait a minute, devil. My God is my provider. He's going to meet my need. If he comes to you with some kind of fear, you say, no, my God is Jehovah Shalom, my peace, and I trust him for my peace. You see, the Bible predicts, projects God as everything you need. It doesn't matter what situation in life you face, God is real. And he is what you need and I need in every situation. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that God is so real, so special, so precious. Yes, fear is as old as Job, and it's one of the devil's greatest weapons. And you can live your life in fear, or you can choose to cast your care on the Lord, and not just on a Lord general out yonder somewhere, but on a Lord who is personal. A Lord who can meet and will meet in every need that you have. And I need this on a daily basis. Just to be able to say, oh God, thank you that you're my provider, you're my healer, you're my sanctifier, you're my peace. That you're here with me in this difficult situation. Thank God that no matter how bad the situation, how much fear the devil tries to give, that in a time when men's hearts fail them for fear, we as believers can live in peace. Remember Jesus, as he talked to those disciples right before he was crucified, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Oh, what a blessing. And that's when the world sees Jesus real in you and they're shaking in their boots and they're saying, wait a minute. How come you're not as afraid as I am? How come you're not as fearful as I am? And you can say, oh, I walk in peace because I walk in the Lord. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, gives me peace. And in the joy of your Lord, in the peace of your Lord, you're a witness to a troubled, messed up world. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Is there one here that needs to make a decision? Maybe to accept Jesus, rededicate your life, just slip out of the pew and come. Maybe you have a troubled heart over something, and this message has reminded you that you can have peace. Bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Father God, as we bow before you this morning, thank you for the peace that passes all understanding that's ours through Jesus. Thank you that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but you give us the power and the love and the sound mind. Father, teach us to know and know you better, so that you can say, we can say like David, my God is my fortress, my strong tower, my shield, my deliverer, my strength. Lord, may that be so real to us, not just something we hear about or read about, but may your presence be so real in our lives that we walk in victory in a troubled world. Lord, I sure do thank you. I sure do thank you for that sweet, sweet, sweet spirit, that presence of the Lord. Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.